nice enough to join us this morning on a busy Penn Mile day is his trainer, John Service. Hey, John, Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well. Man, 14 years, John. Can you believe it? It's been 14 years since Smarty Jones.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Flies by.
You've been pretty busy yourself. We'll get to Smarty in a minute. In fact, one of his sons tonight, Midnight Poker. Talk to us a little bit about him. He'll be on the undercard of the Penn Mile here. Race 5 is the Danzig for the PA Breds, much like Daddy was. Man, this gelding's done nothing wrong so far.
You know, he really has been very professional throughout the whole run so far, and he kind of surprised us. He's not a very big horse. He's not an attractive looking horse. He's very plain. That's why we ran into our tag the first time. He just, you know, showed a little talent, but not a lot. And he's just gotten better and better with every start.
Yeah, you mentioned running them for a tag first time out. Kind of got away with one that day, huh?
We did. You know, I thought he'd run well there for that kind of money, but I didn't think he'd run as good as he did. I mean, that was a big move on his part.
Yeah, reunited with Kendrick Carmouche. Kendrick's won half of his starts. He won the day other than a couple back at Parks. And on his paper, he's got some space between his races. Is that by design, or is that just the way the program's kind of lent itself into his three-year-old year?
Well, that's kind of the way the program lent itself. We, that break after his second start, there just weren't many A other thans going, and we decided to just kick him out for a little bit. We sent him out to the farm and gave him a little freshening, and he came back even better.
Hey, John, Steve Grabowski here. You love anytime you see a young undefeated horse, and this one who seems to be progressing quite well. What's the theory about cutting him back now to sprint here after that 2-turn, 7-furlong race at Charlestown, rather than looking for something to stretch him out a little bit with that, you know, nice Smarty Jones and Halo's image pedigree, saying that he'd probably take to a longer trip?
Well, the schedule that we had for him included the Danzig at Penn. And quite frankly, the longer races for straight three-year-olds now, they're getting a little tougher. So we thought maybe this spot might be a little easier than it is. It actually came out tougher than we expected. But off of this race, he was going to get a stretch out off of this. And probably some tougher competition also.
All right. 5-2 on the morning line. He's the morning line favorite. You don't ship for no reason here, too, just a limited number of starters, but a win, a second, and a third from 5 tries. I'll tell you, when I look at your numbers, you might be the quietest 26% guy in the country.
Well, listen, I'm very fortunate. I mean, I have some great clients, and they put some good horses in my barn, and they give me opportunity to be aggressive when I need to be.
People didn't, you know, you've always been a Mid-Atlanta kind of guy. I know you since I never say since I was little, because I've never been little. So I'll say since I was a lot younger. We go back a long way from our old Philly Park days together with my dad. And Smarty, of course, really thrust you into the spotlight. And it was at a time where a lot of guys were tasting that victory on the grand scale for the first time. Barkley Tagg, you know, much like yourself, Mid-Atlantic guy, came to New York, had Funny Side, and, you know, John Sheriff's followed with Giacomo the next year. Talk to me a little bit about the entire experience with Smarty before we talk about the Belmont. Just, you know, how it changed the Service barn, if you will.
Well, I mean, we, you know, I guess things really started to change for me when I took on Fox Hill Farm, and I really started to get some better horses in the barn and some graded horses, and I think that's probably what got me Smarty, was the fact that I had some graded, you know, horses in the past that had done well. And then after Smarty, it just, you know, it opened up some more doors and got me an opportunity to have better quality. And as Bob Baffert said, I changed my feeding program. I started feeding better horses, and it certainly helped.
Hey, John, you know, obviously you knew what you had in Smarty before anybody else knew, you know, what he was. I mean, second time out right before Thanksgiving, I'll never forget it, in 2003 when he wins that the nursery.
The Pennsylvania nursery.
And with you have a Pennsylvania bred running a triple-digit buyer at 7/8. I mean, tell me, what was it like during that holiday season waiting to stretch him out? I think he ran third time out in the Count Fleet where he wanted odds on first time going two turns. But what did it feel sitting through that season waiting for him to turn to be a three-year-old and knowing what you had in the barn?
Well, when he broke his maiden, you know, he did it right. I wouldn't say he was impressive, but he did it the right way. And then when we wheeled him back in the nursery, you know, he drew the one hole in a full field, and Stu had to hustle him a little bit out of there just to protect his position because it was such a big field. And he ran lights out. I mean, he ran so fast, and he just kept going. And you know, after that race, I looked at the Mr. and Mrs. Chapman, and I said, you know, we need to talk about what we're going to do with this horse. I mean, I think we got some bigger plans down the road. And the plan was to keep him up here until after the first of the year, try him in the Count Fleet because we weren't sure how fast or how far he would go because he was so quick, he was so fast, and he's got, you know, he had that sprinter pedigree on the bottom. So we waited and ran him in the Count Fleet, and he ran awesome, and then that's when we decided to take him to Oakmont.
Talking with John Service. He has Midnight Poker in the Danzig tonight here at Penn National on Penn Mile night. And, of course, reminiscing now about the one and only Smarty Jones. All right, so you get to the Kentucky Derby. You go off the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. Back then, it wasn't like it was now. That was taboo. You didn't want to be the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. And you know, he goes through the Derby, a sensational Preakness. And you're looking to break a 26-year drought. And, obviously, Smarty did not break the 26-year drought. Talk to us a little bit about Belmont Week and what it was like in every aspect, every sense of the word, leading up to that Belmont Stakes in 2004.
Well, you know, it was crazy because throughout the whole run, I really never felt any pressure at all. I really didn't. I mean, my horse was doing good. He was training good. And after the Preakness, I started to see some little subtle signs here and there that maybe he was starting to tail off a little bit. I knew his Preakness race was huge, and I was worried about him bouncing going to the Belmont. And, you know, I just didn't feel as confident going to the Belmont as I did the Preakness or the Derby.
When, I'm just going to put it to you plain and simple. Is there anything you'd have done differently? Do you think you could have done anything differently in the Belmont Stakes?
No. No, I mean, he ran well. You know, he got hooked up in a pretty wicked middle half mile there, and you know, it took its toll. It took its toll on him late.
Yeah, that was. I remember being at Belmont Park that day, and we've been talking about this. Of course, you know, whenever there's a Triple Crown on the line, Smarty comes up a lot. I think it's the biggest upset in the history of the Belmont Stakes. I really do, and. I remember watching the race with Ron Turcotte, and Ron was yelling and screaming for Stewie, and I cannot remember Belmont Park going from such a fevered pitch to just flat.
That's exactly what it was like. I was in the third floor clubhouse, and I don't think anybody could believe that he lost. I mean, it was just
It went from
everybody was just so deflated.
You couldn't hear yourself talk to absolute silence.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I got to tell you. Not because we go back a long way, but that you handled it with the utmost professionalism and grace. I remember you coming back to Aqueduct. I think it was for the 04 Remsen with Rockport Harbor, if I'm not mistaken. And you took about an 8-minute barrage of Smarty Jones questions about 6 months later, and he answered them like they were asking him what flavor ice cream he wanted. And I remember saying to myself, that's John Service for you. And, you know, you've been one of the few that really haven't caught that Derby fever. Diamond King is your first Preakness running back. How did he come out of the Preakness?
He came out of it pretty good. I mean, it was pretty ambitious to run in there. I think we'd have been very salty in the Peter Pan. But, you know, I mean, that's you know, when it comes to the Triple Crown races, I understand owners want to run there, and that's what they wanted to do, so that's what we did. And but he came out of it good, and you'll probably see him in either the Ohio Derby or the Indiana Derby, one of those two. But yeah, he's doing good. And you know what? As far as with the media and the barrage of questions and stuff like that, yeah, this business has been so good to me. You know, during that whole Smarty run, I told my wife this. I said, you know, I just feel like I want to give something back. So, you know, if we could fit in time to answer questions, we'll answer questions. I don't have a problem with that.
No, you answered every one of them. You were great. I'm going to ask you one more question before we let you get back to training. Is Justified a 13th Triple Crown winner come next Saturday night?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. Not only do I think he'll win, I think he'll be impressive, and I think Hoffberg will run second.
That's who I like. I like Hoffberg.
But I just seeing where he was going into the Preakness and still winning, and then seeing how he is now, I mean, he's, you know, plus that was a big race in the Derby. He bounced a little bit in the Preakness, and you know as well as I do, those horses come off that bounce. You give them 3 weeks, man, they're sitting on go. He's probably sitting on a big race.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things. A lot of people, including myself, haven't expected him to. I guess one more time next Saturday wouldn't be that much of a shock. John, great as always. Thanks for some time this morning. Good luck tonight with Midnight Poker, a son of the one and only Smarty Jones. He's the 5-2 morning line favorite in the Danzig here at Penn National on Penn Mile Undercard. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.